Well, hi everybody and welcome. Today on the program, I'm going to show you how to create and confidently deliver call openings that you can also use as voicemails that will generate interest with your prospects and your customers and minimize any call killing resistance and also get callbacks and replies. How's that sound? Hi, I'm Art Subcheck, and I'm going to show you how to also get more yeses and fewer no's on your prospecting calls, and how to never be rejected again, and how to make more money. Wow. So did I get your interest at all with that opening? Did it prompt you to want to hear more? Did it make you at all curious? Well, that's exactly the objective of the program today, and that's what you're going to do as a result. That's creating interest right away at the beginning of your prospecting calls and on voicemails so that you can get more people interested. I mean, that's what it's all about, right? So today I'm going to cover material with you that others are using worldwide to get through and get in and sell. It's the same stuff that I cover in my training programs with clients. In fact, I've done over 1,500 training programs over the past 34 years, helping sales pros in virtually all industries. And you're getting that same thing here today. So I've got a promise for you. I do respect your time. So here is my promise to you. First, I'm going to show you the process and examples of messaging that salespeople worldwide are now using to get through and get in and sell to buyers that they want to speak with. And then I'm also going to show you how to do it without rejection. Okay. Now, is that what you're looking for? Will it be worth your while if we do that? Now, one more thing here, a little housekeeping. As far as notes, I'd like you to get yourself a paper, pen, and something that you're going to write on, because you're going to want to write things down today. There's going to be no way to remember everything that I cover, and I'm going to go through things pretty quickly. So today we're going to cover an entire day's worth of material in less than an hour. That means very few jokes, which should be to your benefit. And typically I do a lot of exercises and discussion and practice in my training programs, but today I'm going to leave that to you, because really the work's going to begin after you get off this program. All right. Now, for those of you that don't know me, I'm going to do a mercifully brief introduction so you have an idea of where all this stuff is coming from. So I've been in the inside sales business over 34 years in a lot of different areas, author, trainer, coach. Most of all, I'm a salesperson just like you. Actually, I'm a sales scientist, because I think every day we're in sales situations all day long. So as I mentioned, I've done over 1,500 training programs in virtually all industries, authored 5 books. During that time, listened to, reviewed tens of thousands of calls in addition to my own. I won the lifetime, or was awarded the Lifetime Achievement Award from the American Association of Inside Sales Professionals, which I guess they give to people who have been around a long time. And during my time, I've made about every sales mistake imaginable. So if you've made it, I guarantee I have too. My book, Smart Calling, won a top sales book of 2010 and also was one of the top 20 most highly rated sales books of all time by its readers. And I'm a top 50 sales marketing influencer, competition barbecue cook. That's what, absolutely. If you've seen some of the people on some of these cooking shows on TV, I've competed against many of them and I've won some championships. Originally, I'm from Omaha, Nebraska, but right now I'm at my home office in Scottsdale, Arizona, where I now reside. All right, enough about me. Let's talk about you. Let's talk about the material today. I'm going to make a bold assumption that hopefully you haven't bought into the garbage that prospecting is dead. Now, cold calling, sure, is dead. There's no reason why anyone should ever make a cold call. But using the phone is the fastest, cheapest way to get someone into a buying conversation. And that's with someone who had never, ever intended on contacting you first, that didn't even know about you. Hey, I'm all for social media and blogging and getting your name out there. And I use all of those methodologies. But as you might have experienced, if you sit around waiting for people to contact you because of social media, you're going to go broke. People have. So that leaves prospecting. If you want to get new business, you must prospect, period. But you've got to do it in the right way to get success. Most people don't. In fact, you might have placed calls before where you got shot down right away. Have you? Well, I have. And it was likely a result of something you said. But don't worry. We're going to show you the right way to do this. Now, when you do it the right way, when that happens, now just think about what your sales and your income and your life, for that matter, will be like. So you can then approach every call with that confidence that you've got this proven go-to process, that all you need to do is adapt and tweak it to get through to and speak with your buyers. And then you've got this word-for-word messaging that all we need to do is just implement in each part of that process so that you can sound smooth and conversational and know where you're going to go. I'll get some extra words in the slide there. And you don't fear or experience rejection again. And we're going to talk about that. Also, why is this important to you? Let's face it, it's harder than ever to get to buyers today. Technology, yeah, is great, but it's made us less connected to people. And we need to be talking to people. And getting back to that rejection, that old myth can and does debilitate people. It prevents them from placing phone calls. Well, today we're going to be focusing on the fact that people are still buying. They're talking to salespeople who have a customized and tailored message, not the smiling and dialing, throwing it up against the wall numbers game mentality. They're talking to fewer salespeople, though, but the ones who they see have that value. And we're going to talk about how you can deliver that value. So we're going to focus primarily on the most difficult part of this prospecting call. And that's where most mistakes are made, where most calls fail, where most people are horrible. And that's the first 10 seconds and everything leading up to that first 10 seconds. Now, if you can get through and instantly create interest and get the prospect participating, the rest is a lot easier, isn't it? Of course it is. But if you get shot down right away, it doesn't matter how great you are at questioning or any other part of the call. Now, let's establish something here that really shouldn't be news to anyone. People today are busier than they've ever been. We live in this attention deficit distracted world. I was doing research for a training program with a client, and I saw results from this study that said we're subjected to anywhere from 300 to 3,000 messages a day of all types. So really, then it's no wonder that it's harder to get attention than it ever has been. And there's no possible way people can respond to even a portion of the messages we're subjected to every day. And just think about the buyers you want to sell to. Don't you think that your competitors are calling those same people? Not to mention the salespeople of just about everything else who are also calling on them. I get these calls. So add up the calls, the endless spam emails from clueless salespeople. And of course, it's difficult to get through. So that's why you need to be smart with your planning and your messaging, and then your entire call, if you want to be successful. Since getting in, the part we're covering today, is just the foundation of that. Quick story here. I had a young seminar attendee a couple years ago. He was right out of college, real bright, very inquisitive. He had, in the past, some part-time retail sales jobs when he was in college, but this was his first real business-to-business job, and he was extremely motivated. I was impressed. He came up to me during the first day of the program, and he asked, "So, what are the top major mistakes that you see unsuccessful salespeople making on calls?" And I was pretty impressed with that question. He wanted to start out by avoiding what the unsuccessful salespeople do. So we spent an hour over dinner that night going through the things that salespeople do and say that causes resistance on their calls and really sabotages their success. And that actually was the motivation for me to incorporate that in my training for clients, especially as it relates to opening statements and voicemails. And by the way, not surprisingly, that sales rep went on to very quickly become the top rep in his department within a year, which kind of made some of the veterans mad who had a lot of years of attendance, but not much actual real experience since they were making the same mistakes over and over again. So speaking of mistakes, I'm going to put up here an example of a dumb cold call where there was no research done in advance. So let's look at this and see what mistakes that you can pick out. And when you pick them out, go ahead and type them in the question box over there. So, hi Pat, I'm Dale Stevens with Atlantic Associates. We provide internal communications training, and I'd like to introduce our training program to you. See if you'd like to attend a webinar to learn more about our courses and how they help companies. All right, so what mistakes did you pick out there? Go ahead and type those in. All right, yeah, looks like a few of you are getting these right. So first, he talked about what he does and what he sells. Internal communications training, which is a big old so what. I mean, come on. And then he says, I want to introduce our training. Again, who cares? This isn't a cocktail party. Then he says, I'd like you to attend a webinar. So what he's doing there is he's asking for a decision way too early in the call. And then he says, to see if you'd like to learn about our courses. Why? Why would they want to learn about the courses? They don't even see a reason to stay on the phone yet. And learn about our courses and how they help companies. Well, how about telling me how they help companies? Who have you done it for? How specifically have you helped companies? All right, so you might be thinking, all right, well, that's a good example of what not to do. And by the way, congrats to those of you that I see you typed in some of the right answers there. So you might be thinking, well, what should I say? Great question. So let's look at a smart call, one where some research has done. Hi, Pat. I'm Dale Stevens with Atlantic Associates. I understand that one of your initiatives for the year is strengthening the communication and collaboration between your account management and production departments so that you can increase your customer retention and order frequency. Well, with another components manufacturer, we were able to help them do exactly that and raise their retention by 55% in just 6 months. And also their reorder rate by 34%. And really, I'd just like to ask you a few questions to see if I can provide you with some information. So what's the difference here? Well, of course, Dale had done a lot of research, so he knew that they were interested in accomplishing the strengthening of the communication and collaboration. And we're going to talk about how you can find that out. And also interested in the increasing their customer retention and order frequency, right? And then he went on to say how he did that with someone similar, which would be of interest, and gave some proof, talked about the numbers, 55% and 34%. And notice at the end, he didn't ask for a decision of any type. The biggest decision he asked for is to get them to answer a few questions. And that's really all we're trying to do on our prospecting calls. So would you like to be able to do that every time? Would you like that one magic secret opening or voicemail that's guaranteed to get everyone to drop what they're doing and return your phone call? Or if they're hearing it live, to cause them to say, oh, stop right there. Let me give you my credit card now. Would you like that? Yeah, I would too. Actually, if there was such a thing, as nice of a guy that I am, do you think I'd be giving it to you for free? The fact is that there is no magic. Sorry, there's no encrypted code, no secret sauce that only a few people have access to. I mean, just like anything in life, success in sales and creating interest specifically on your prospecting calls is a process that involves several steps. And when you follow the steps and the best practices and the messaging within each, and you avoid the mistakes that cause failure, that is your magic. There you go. That is the code. It's not that tough, but it does require knowledge and work and practice. This is not a get-rich-quick scheme. Sorry, if you were looking for that, that's not here. But what I am going to do is give you the steps in my smart calling process, which is being used for both prospecting calls and really any call once you're into a sales cycle. All right, and here are the steps we're going to cover. So we've got the pre-call planning, we've got our pre-decision maker conversations, and then we have our interest creating opening. And by the way, as we go through the parts of the process here, have a prospect in mind, somebody that you're going to be calling on, perhaps someone you'd really like to do business with. That one prospect that could be that prized customer if you could just crack into it. The one that could really make you some nice cash, okay? Use that as the one that you're going to work on as we go through these steps in the process and the examples. All right, strap in. I'm going to go pretty fast here. So let's talk about your pre-call planning. Now, the success of not only our opening, but also the entire call happens right here. And I mean, just like championships are won in practice, prospecting and sales success is made based on most of the things you do before you pick up the phone. And a huge one is your intelligence gathering, your research. I mean, today we've got more information available to us than at any point in our lives. And we'll be able to say the same thing tomorrow and the next day. And as mentioned before, buyers and everyone, they're all busier than ever. They ignore most messages. They have to. And well, especially the ones they feel are of no value and are just noise, which is most of them. So how do you cut through the clutter and have any chance at getting someone to listen to you? I suggest you follow the Robert Collier principle. Robert Collier was a famous direct marketing copywriter. And he said, what we want to do is always enter the conversation that's already taking place in the customer's mind. So you do this by making your messaging about them and what they're interested in. And that happens when you do some basic, or in some cases, more in-depth research. And I'm going to share with you some of the things that I do when I'm preparing for a call, just to use this as a little bit of a case study. Personally, what I'm doing is I'm going to LinkedIn, of course. And by the way, if you're serious about selling, you do need to be good at LinkedIn. Several key things we need to do at the basic level in LinkedIn, and then a lot more if you want to be advanced. Then also, I've got Google News Alerts set up. It's so cool that Google will actually be your partner in helping you generate leads. That's pretty cool stuff. Also, what I'm doing is I'm going to different sites. I'm searching for job postings that have the term cold calling in them, because I'm looking for companies that I know do cold calling, and that's right there in their job description. So that's giving me a little bit of an insight into the organization, and again, that's a start. I've got a few other sites personally that I've been going to, depending on the industry that I'm calling into. There's also a number of sales intelligence tools, sales enablement tools and sites that you can use that do a lot of the work for you. For example, Inside View, insideview.com is one of those. Now, I can already hear some objections out there. An objection is, I just don't have time to do research. I got to be placing calls. My manager says I really got to be cranking the phone hard because it's a numbers game. If you're not on the phone, you're not making sales. Well, true. If you're not putting in the activity, you have no chance of talking to anyone. But the numbers game mentality is a big myth. I was in Vegas last month. Love Vegas, by the way. But Vegas is a numbers game. Calling is not a numbers game. Calling is a quality game. Maybe you've heard this myth before also. For every no you get, you're that much closer to a yes. Make so many calls, you're going to get so many yeses. No, that's flawed. If a basketball player put up a shot every time he or she touched the ball from wherever they were on the court, that doesn't mean they have a greater chance of making a basket because they're putting up more shots. They need to put up quality shots. So we want to make sure that our calls are quality calls. So I would answer that objection, the one about we don't have time to do the research, with, you can't afford not to do the research. Because let's look at it this way. What's going to happen if you don't do the research? Well, you're going to be placing an uninformed, dumb call like the one that I mentioned or showed you earlier that you're just hoping is going, you're going to be in the right place at the right time. That was a couple other things here about doing research. I suggest you systematize it. So when you know, for example, when I know when I'm looking for information, I know where I need to go. So it doesn't have to take me a lot of time to just plug into my system. Something else here. How about doing some of your research after hours, then at night before the next day? Now, I know for some of you, maybe not you because you're on this webinar, so you're conscientious, but there are probably salespeople who are just 9-to-5ers, and man, they're not going to put in any more time than that. But if you put in some time after hours, now you're maximizing your golden time, your calling hours. All right, so let's say you've done your online research. So you've gotten a lot of great online information. Now I'm going to share with you how you can get even better information from people within their organization. You're going to do what's called social engineering. Social engineering is simply calling into an organization and asking questions of someone other than a decision maker. Yeah, that's right. All we're doing is we're asking questions of anybody in an organization to get information that's going to help you be more relevant and help you help them. Now, again, people might object to this who have never done it before. They say things like, oh, people aren't going to answer questions. People won't share information with you. Really? Try it. It works. It is unbelievable the amount and the quality of information that you can get by simply asking questions. Now, I do suggest, if you're calling into a company for the first time, if you haven't spoken with a decision maker, that you do a social engineering call as a separate call. Yeah, it takes a little bit of time, but again, all that matters at the end of the day is how many sales or appointments you made, how successful you were in reaching your objectives, right? How many people you have in your sales funnel. So I guarantee you, you're going to get more people talking to you when you're relevant, and you get relevant when you have good information. So you do a social engineering call. And then you can do these on any follow-up call you place. Because, I mean, think about it. How many attempts does it take you to reach somebody, even on follow-up calls? A lot, right? Well, every one of those, you don't have to waste because you can still get some information. You can still salvage something by talking to somebody else. So the process for social engineering, I'm going to share with you a component that when you execute it, it's proven to get you more and better information. So let's go through the process here. So step one is identify yourself and your company. Pretty simple, right? Step two is the magic H word, ask for help. Step three, this one is the key to success, and that is your justification statement. Justification statement has been proven by people that study psychology and influence, credibility, and persuasion. And all we're doing here is giving a reason why we're asking for compliance. And in our case, asking for some information. And then finally, we ask questions. So, for example, in my case, I like to say, yeah, I want to make sure that what I have is going to be of interest. Or I want to make sure that I'm in the right spot there. And then you ask your questions. In my case, I like to call into sales departments because we know they all like to talk, right? So here's an example of what I use. Hi, Art Zupchak here with Business by Phone. I'm hoping you can help me. I'm going to be speaking with Dale Scott, your VP of Sales there, and I want to make sure that what I have is going to be of value to him, and I'd like to ask you a few questions. So again, that's simple, right? Okay, let's move on here. A lot of stuff to cover yet. Let's talk about defining your possible value propositions and buying motivators. So the purpose for this, quickly, is to help you come up with the word-for-word phrase or phrases that you're going to plug into your opening, your voicemail message, which is going to cause someone to say, oh yeah, okay, yeah, that sounds interesting. That sounds like something I could use. So a couple quick points here on possible value propositions. Notice I call it possible value. Now, you might have a pretty good idea of how what you have is going to be of some value to somebody. But the thing is, you don't know for sure until you speak with them. And we realize, or they realize, that it is indeed of value to them. And we only find that out by asking questions later. So that's why for now we call it possible value. So a few points about this. What you believe is value might not be for them. For example, these are not value statements, yet we hear them all the time. We see them in advertising and on websites and in emails. Stuff like, we provide cost-effective solutions. What does that mean? We've been in business for over 25 years. Well, again, what does that mean? This isn't a test of longevity. It doesn't necessarily mean you've been successful at that time. We're the largest in the business. I had a sales rep tell me how that actually came back to bite him in the butt. He sells banking supplies, and he was talking to a small community bank, and he said, well, we've done business with such banks as the Federal Reserve and Chase and Citibank. And the prospect said, oh, well, you must be way too much too big for us then. here's another one. We're the most experienced in the industry. And again, that says nothing, right? So when we get off this webinar today or tomorrow, I'd like you to sit down either by yourself or part of your sales team and do these exercises. Define word for word what possible value you're providing for your prospects. I'll just quickly go through a few of these with you. Pain avoidance or gain. Psychologists tell us that we do things for two main reasons, to the desire to avoid something or the desire to get something. So in this activity, I'd like you to write out very specifically, what do you help people get? I mean, write it in sensory terms. Don't say, we have good service. Draw a picture of what good service looks like. So for example, what you're able to do is you're able to get orders out the door even after 4 o'clock, when most companies have their cutoff, so that your customers can get their orders the next day. You can see that, right? That's visual. All right, a few others here. People like easy. How about cutting or saving costs or time? How are you different? Sometimes sales reps say to me, well, my job's tough because we sell a commodity. Well, here's the thing about selling a commodity. If you think you're selling a commodity, you are. Because now you're putting yourself in a position where you think you're the same as everybody else, and you're probably selling on price, and you're getting beat up, and you're getting into price discussions. You're dropping price. No, you're different. Otherwise, you wouldn't be in business. So think about what sets you apart. And finally, we got social proof. And again, this is another term used by social psychologists. And really what it means is, if it's been done before, it's proven. And it has more credibility than if you just simply made a claim. So spend some time on this one. Write out what specific results you provided to other prospects and customers. Now also, when you're doing this, make sure that you add numbers and facts and figures. Dollarize your solution. So any of those things, make sure you're writing those out, because those are possible value points that you may be able to use in your opening or your voicemail message. Now, you're not writing out an entire opening statement here. All we're doing is we're writing out a tweet, if you will. Somebody told me 10 years ago I'd be using the term tweet in a presentation. I'd tell them they were crazy. But anyway, so buyers perceive value as the result of owning and using your product or service. So it's not the thing or the stuff that you sell. Too many people talk about their thing, and that creates resistance. People buy results. Okay, so moving right along here, we're going to use that here in a second, what you just wrote out, or hopefully you were thinking about for your possible value propositions. So there's other things that we need to be doing as part of our pre-call planning. We need to be setting our call objectives. You need to know where you want to be at the end of your call. It's a very simple point, but it's not always followed. If you're going to drive somewhere, you simply wouldn't get in your car and drive around without knowing your destination, would you? So the same thing's true for your calls. So we need to set a primary objective. And I define that as, what do we want them to do as a result of this call? Your primary objective could be, for example, at the end of this call, I want them to agree that the next time they will be placing an order is that you're going to be the one that they buy from. So they will give you a call. Or I want them to agree that they're going to take my proposal to their boss. I want them to agree they will attend my webinar. Again, all those things are action-oriented. All right. Now, so again, that's your primary objective. So now, one thing I always say is that I can show you how you can never be rejected again on a phone call. Does that interest you at all? Or should we skip this part? No. All right. So how many of you have been rejected before on a phone call? Go ahead and type yes if you've been rejected before. And how do you know? How do you know? Their tone and their dial tone. They hung up on you. Okay. So, well, people say that, I see that. Yeah, they give me a no. They tell me they're not interested. They tell me to take them off of my list. They hang up on you. Right. Okay, fair enough. All those things happen. And I've had those things happen to me. Anybody has who's been doing any kind of prospecting for any length of time. But here's my question for you. Is rejection an experience or the way you define the experience? Yeah, it's always the way you define the experience. Rejection's not what happens to you. It's the way you react to what happens to you. No's are inevitable on your calls. Hey, if you're in the game, you're going to swing, you're going to miss. If you're putting up shots, you're going to miss some. That's part of the deal. Big deal, so what? It's an activity. It's just something that didn't work. It's pretty absurd to think that if something didn't work in another profession, people would feel rejected as a result of it. Would an auto mechanic say, oh man, that engine, I couldn't fix the engine using that one technique. Got rejected by that engine. The accountant, oh, my numbers didn't add up on that spreadsheet. Got rejected by that spreadsheet. I now have spreadsheet reluctance. No. So if I got a no, big deal. So what? Now, of course, you might be thinking, oh yeah, that's all well and good, but what am I supposed to do? Well, how about this? How about getting a win on every single call? That means, what could you at least attempt on every single call? For example, you might ask a particular question. You might ask to just leave the door open for a future contact. You might ask if you could keep them on your list. We all could do those things, right? And notice I didn't even say it had to be successful. Now you might be thinking, well, you're just kind of playing a mind game. Yeah, you are. That's absolutely required. Because when you're prospecting, every single day, it's like you're going out and proactively playing in heavy traffic. Occasionally, you're going to get nicked. Every once in a while, you might take one broadside. Now, depending on how you react to that, really is going to define how well you're going to do the rest of the day, the week, the month, the year, your career for that matter. So if you're looking at what happens to you, what happens to you as a rejection, you are going to feel rejected. And you'll ultimately quit placing calls and maybe get out of the sales business. I mean, people have. So instead, if you control it, why not get a win on every call? Now, here's the other thing about a secondary objective. This is what I call it, a secondary objective. You can plant a seed for the future that you might be able to come back and harvest later. And this works because you do it now, subconsciously, if you're not doing it proactively. What I mean by this is, have you ever had somebody call you up, and maybe somebody you've completely written off, and they call you, and then they say something like, hey, you know, things have changed. We talked a while ago. Well, they called you as a result of something that changed in their world, and they remembered you for whatever reason, maybe something you said, something you did. Well, how about doing that proactively? For example, I might say to somebody, well, Mike, if you ever find that you're not bringing in enough new business, or if your sales reps are not making prospecting calls because they're reluctant to do so because they're not confident in what they're saying, keep in mind that I've got a process, a proven process that will make that more comfortable for them, which results in more calls and more sales. So if you find your focus is changing and to more new business, I've got something here that could help you. Now, what did I do there? I just planted a little seed in their mind. How long did that take? Not a lot of time, right? And you could simply do that every single call, and you can feel good about that. So there you go. There's a secondary objective, which again, it's a way for you to never feel rejected again, and then you can have that planting of the seed. Okay, so pre-communication, and I'm going to go through this relatively quick. Let's talk about voicemail. Here's the thing about voicemail. A good voicemail message is almost identical to your opening statement. Yeah, that's right. Why would it be any different? Why would you say anything different than when you have somebody live than you do when you have them on a recording? In a few minutes, we're going to go through the whole opening statement process with examples. But for now, let's just say that your voicemail should be the same as what you prepare live for your prospect or customer. Okay. Now, here's the goal for voicemail. So a good voicemail just simply leaves a question in somebody's mind that they want the answer to. So you want them thinking, wonder what that is. And by the way, on prospecting calls, don't expect your calls to be returned if you haven't spoken with them before. It's actually kind of arrogant, isn't it? So what I suggest you do is you pave the way for a future contact. It's an opportunity for you to leave a little bit of a value add commercial. So the objective should be to pique their curiosity, leave a question in their mind so that they're thinking, wonder what that is. Wonder how they're going to help me get more hits at my site. So really, what we're trying to do is, again, pave the way so that when our call does come in, at some point, they might just let it through. Or they might tell their assistant that, hey, if this person calls, I want to take that call. Now, again, we're going to go through the whole opening statement process in a minute here. But again, should be identical to the voicemail process. All right. So let's talk about, I hate to use the term screeners and gatekeepers. Because they're really so negative, those terms. I like to call them assistants. Yeah. And here's my main rule as it relates to working with anybody who is standing between you and the decision maker. Ready? Treat them like you would the buyer. There's so much garbage out there that's written and taught about how to go above and around, under, through, over the screener. I mean, really, it makes me sick. This person is the most important person in your life right at this moment as it relates to getting to the buyer. Now, understand their job here. It's not to get rid of all salespeople. I know it seems like that sometimes, but their job actually is to protect the decision maker's time. So let's help them do that. If they want to know what the call is in reference to, we give them a version of our opening statement. If they want to know why you're calling, we talk about the possible results. But then we also say, in order for me to determine if that would be of value, I really would like to ask him or her a few questions. Now, again, rule number two, see rule number one. Yeah, treat them like you would the buyer. They are going to respect that and you. Hey, they know all the tricks. I mean, come on. If you're going to try to steamroll them, they are just going to get rid of you and laugh at you. I mean, think about what a screener is saying when they put a call on hold from some clueless salesperson. Are they saying, hey, I've got somebody really intelligent on the line here? No, they're saying, yeah, I've got some bozo just trying to get through me here. Want me to get rid of them, right? So executive assistants, particularly higher up and in the organization, like at the C-suite, that's not an entry-level job, is it? So these people can be your greatest helpers, your greatest assistants. So treat them as such. All right. Now we're ready to pull everything together and plug in the work that you've done so far in this process and plug it into your interest creating openings and voicemails. So what should we do? First, it's important to note that there are just two objectives for your opening statement. One is to move them into a positive, receptive state of mind to participate. I mean, after all, they weren't sitting there waiting for your call, right? They didn't do pre-call planning like you did. So we're interrupting something. We've got to get them in this positive frame of mind. And then next, all we want to do is get them talking. Get them to the questioning part of the call. I mean, really, here's what I want to hear at the end of my opening. Okay, sure. Yeah. What do you want to know? Now, if I can hear that, that was a successful prospecting opening. So here's a process that I want you to follow. Number one, identify yourself and your organization. Pretty easy so far, right? Now, again, this is when we have a decision maker on the phone, or again, we can use this for our voicemail. Number two, here's where we're using our smart calling intelligence. For example, I was speaking with Pat Smith, your director of operations, and she mentioned that you're now in the process of, or congratulations on the contract that I had read about, or I see that your company is adding two new locations. So you can see the other examples there. Now, again here, what you don't want to do is just state the obvious, all right? You want to make sure we've got something that is something that's relevant. Next, we're plugging in our customized possible value proposition. We specialize in working with, and you could talk about the type of the company or their title, helping them to. So it's here where we're plugging in, again, those possible value statements. So you can see how everything ties in together, right? So you can read the other examples there. Now, again, these are very generic. You want to customize these as much as possible based on what you know about them. So, for example, in my case, I might say, we specialize in working with sales departments who are looking to bring in new accounts and in helping their sales reps be more comfortable in placing those prospecting calls and be successful with it. And then, actually, I've got another one here. We can add more value and then move to the questioning. So I've got a few ideas that might be of some value to you regarding how potentially you could do this with your department. I'd like to ask you a few questions. And I think I have my numbering screwed up there on the process. So at the very end, I like to use these phrases. I like to ask you a few questions. Because really, all we're doing here is we're asking them to make an easy decision. The easy decision is that they're going to stay on the phone with you and answer some questions. Right now, I'm going to share a variation of this. This is another template that I use. And here, the things in red, of course, are the things that you plug in. Hi, Mr. Prospect, I'm with, and then you fill in with your connection, your intelligence. We specialize in working with, and again, fill in there, who or that. Now you're describing a situation or problem, and what we help them to do is, so there's the result that you provide, and what that means is, so now you're ensuring that you're talking about the end result. And then at the end, if you can get more specific with results that you provided to somebody, all the better. So let me give you one here. Hi, Art Subcheck here. I'm president of business by phone. And I saw your post in the LinkedIn Inside Sales group that we both participate in about looking for a prospecting workshop for your national sales meeting. Well, what I do is specialize in working with sales teams that have new business quotas and help them to use a proven prospecting process, which means they're able to confidently get through to and sell to new buyers. And matter of fact, my most recent clients already opened up 10 new accounts in a week, and that was more than they did in the past 3 months. So you see how it's relatively easy to just plug and play if you've done the other things right up to that point. All right, I'm going to do something here. I'm going to share with you a template that was based on this process that was an opening of someone who went through my smart calling course. So this person's in the property and casualty insurance, and what they do, their niche is small to large oil-related businesses. So he introduces himself and says, we specialize in tailoring insurance programs for businesses in the oil industry. We can possibly get you higher limits of liability, including pollution coverage, at the same limit as the general liability, and do so at the same or lower premium than you're now paying. Now, this program is exclusive through our agency in this region. Does saving money on your premium sound like something that would be of benefit to you, to your business? One of the main concerns that we find is that oil-related businesses have is with pollution coverage. So can you tell me, does your pollution coverage limit equal your general liability coverage limit, or is it lower? Now, it's pretty good, but we can make some changes here. So I'm going to do a little makeover here. It's fairly good in that it does touch on several possible areas of value. Higher limits of liability, including pollution at the same limit. Excuse me. But with that said, you probably notice there's a lot of words there that are not necessary to accomplish the objective of putting somebody in a positive, receptive state of mind, making them curious, moving them to the questions, right? So let's perform some microsurgery here. First, ideally, I would have liked them to have done some social engineering, speaking with somebody other than the decision maker to ask some questions and get some information. So in this case, I'd imagine a key piece of information might be any existing issues they have with pollution coverage, since apparently that is with most businesses in their industry. So if the rep could reach someone in the prospects department who might know something about that, that could be very valuable. And then I'd use it right away. For example, I might say, I understand that your existing insurance policy has a lower than desired pollution coverage limit. And next, I consolidate the value statements mentioned earlier, trimming it down to, we specialize in working with oil industry businesses, helping them get higher limits of liability, including pollution coverage, at the same limit as the general liability, and usually doing so at the same or lower premium than they paid previously. And then I'd keep, but reword slightly, the exclusivity of what they offer. I'd say, and this is something that only we're able to offer or provide in our region. And then I'd definitely leave out this here. Does saving money on your premium sound like something that would be of benefit to your business? That's a salesy question. Of course, only can logically be answered one way, but let's face it, people hate hearing that question. It kind of paints them in a corner, right? So then I'd transition right into the questions. There's no need for one of the main concerns we find that oil-related businesses have is, I mean, my reasoning is that we already have them interested and quickly want to get them interacting. So when we stitch it all together, right there on the screen is everything that I just said there. So you could see how it does make it shorter and it accomplishes our objective and it does it much more quickly. Now, a question somebody might have at this point is it too long? Well, my test for too long is whether everything in it contributes to the value that we're trying to imply. In this case, all the sentences work. Also, the delivery is key. How smooth and how polished and how conversational it is. And that's key to making it sound natural. So there you have an opening that, to begin with, was fairly passable, certainly better than many. But with a few slight modifications, you can see when you have the knowledge, the smart calling knowledge, you can make a few tweaks, and that can be all the difference in the world between getting a yes and, yeah, we're good. I'm not interested, right? Okay, so to review here, I showed you the process and the examples of messaging that salespeople worldwide are using to get through and get in and sell to buyers they want to speak with. And I showed you how to do it without rejection. So, did I deliver on my promise to you here today? That was some great material, wasn't it? So now your work begins. So you've got a process, you've got some templates, you've got some word-for-word messaging to help you find and get through to and get responses from and create interest with people who will buy what you have. So now the key is to apply it to your own products and your services. Now, many people at this point, if they've struggled with their calls in the past and they see that all these changes they need to make, might feel a little bit overwhelmed. If that's not you, hey, congratulations, you're going to really crush it. But if it is you, don't worry. That's a natural reaction. It's a natural reaction anytime you're exposed to something new. So just know that you have the foundation for success. You also have a reason. You have a why for needing to place successful calls and getting new business. And lots of other people like you have taken this very same material and they're getting results they never dreamed of before. And you can too. So I look forward to hearing about your success and let's talk soon. I'm Art Subcheck.